This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. This is Enterprise Biz Bites. My name is Arvind Yuvaraj, and in the studio with me again is Angeline Tay.
Yep, lots of tech news today, and to keep up with the Tech Thursday theme. But before that, Beyonce actually just announced that she's going to give scholarships for female students through her initiative called the Formation Scholars Award. How cool is that?
Yeah, and it's also on the anniversary of her album Lemonade, which has become such a landmark album in today's like music landscape. Beyonce said that the award will go to a single woman student in four different schools, so I guess four students. The schools are Boston's Berklee College of Music, New York's Parsons College of Design, and two historically black colleges, Howard University in Washington, D.C., and Atlanta's Spelman College.
Yeah, and this scholarship should put them through school and further studies and hopefully kickstart their professional careers in a positive way. Mm-hmm. So kudos to the Queen Bee for doing this.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's move into our first story of the day.
Yeah, so okay, the first story is about blockchain, and blockchain has become such a big deal recently, right? And it looks like everyone wants to get on board this mechanism to make it work for their product or their company. If you're not sure what blockchain is, by the way, we've had a couple of shows on Tech Talk revolving around blockchain, so just download the app and search for blockchain. I said blockchain so many times.
Yeah, at least five, I think.
Yeah, five. And you can get the scoop on how that works in depth. But yeah, so Spotify just acquired the Brooklyn based blockchain startup MediaChain Labs, whose team will join the company's office in New York, where they will work on developing better technology for connecting artists and other rights holders with the tracks hosted on Spotify's service.
And if you read the background on MediaChain, you can sort of see why Spotify was interested. Before the acquisition, the startup developed several technologies that could help in these efforts that Spotify wants to carry out, including a decentralized peer-to-peer database to connect applications with media and the information about it, as well as an attribution engine for creators and cryptocurrency that rewards creators for their work. That's a mouthful.
And so much jargon. There's so much technological jargon. So basically the startup was working to leverage blockchain technology to help solve problems with attribution, and they were doing so much that it just made sense for Spotify to buy them wholesale instead of trying to develop their own mechanism or even outsource the service to MediaChain instead. So in terms of business, you know, it makes perfect sense.
Yep. Yeah, and as it turns out, this is an area where Spotify can use some help. I'm not sure if you remember, but just last year, Spotify had to settle a licensing dispute with the National Music Publishers Association, or NMPA, in the US over unpaid royalties. And according to the NMPA, Spotify had failed to obtain mechanical licenses, which basically gives a copyright holder some control over the ability to reproduce a musical work. The shocking thing is the issue could impact other streaming services as well, because the NMPA is estimating that almost 25% of the activity on streaming platform today is unlicensed.
Yeah, and because it's so vague and fluid, like all of it, you know. So this digital licensing thing is still new. It's a new ballpark, and services are still not 100% sure on how copyrights and licensing applies in these areas. So in Spotify's case, they had no choice and had to pay over $20 million to music publishers as a result of this settlement.
Yeah, and don't forget, they also had to pay a $5 million penalty.
Yeah, so that's like $25 million just for some dispute. And it's a big number, but it helps Spotify avoid a bunch of class action lawsuits, and it opened up people's eyes to a larger problem in the industry, because Spotify said that it didn't pay out the royalties because it simply didn't have the necessary data to help it figure out whose claims were legitimate and whose were not, or even how to locate those parties. It said that it lacked an authoritative database that covered all existing music rights, and you know, all this basically opens up to litigation, which is obviously not the ideal way of managing these payments.
Yeah, so coming back to MediaChain, by buying this company, Spotify might have a solution on its hands, but instead of building out a centralized database with music rights information, it looks like it will build a decentralized one instead. What this means is, as MediaChain explains in a blog post, and we try to understand this, a shared data layer, which is key to solving attribution, empowering creators and rights owners, and enabling a more efficient efficient and sustainable model for creativity online.
Yeah, so again, a bunch of jargon. I wish I had like a dictionary for with technological or business jargon in it sometimes.
No, with all these tech advancements, you know, now you just use a translator.
Yeah.
Whatever you said into it, it just spills out something more layman term.
Oh,
know,
yeah. Yeah.
That could help.
It could help. Or something like Doraemon. The good thing is that the team at MediaChain has some industry experience. The company's CTO, I'm going to butcher his name, RKD Kukarkin is his name, was the first engineering hire at the music curation aggregator Hype Machine. And before starting MediaChain Labs, co-founder Jesse Walden had co-founded and run an artist management firm that worked with artists like Blood Orange and Magical Clouds Z. Yeah, Clouds with a Z.
And Magical with the J.
With the J, yeah.
I've never heard of them before.
Magical Clouds.
And MediaChain says it will pretty much turn over the technology it had already built to the open source community as it moves to Spotify, which I guess is a pretty cool thing to do. Mm-hmm. The deal terms were not revealed, but MediaChain managed to raise $1.5 million from investors, including Andreessen Horowitz, the Union Square Ventures, and a bunch of others. So it must have been a pretty sweet deal for MediaChain and probably a big solution for Spotify. It's a win-win situation.
Yeah, and you know what else is a win-win situation? Moving on to our second story, processing food in farms without fossil fuels will be pretty sweet if they can achieve this. Because as far as industries go, the agriculture industry is definitely one of the worst environmental offenders. Farms need to be maintained around the clock, right? So besides all the fertilizers and pesticides and water that they use, farms also burn a lot of fossil fuels, and they also burn a lot of money to keep the lights on and tractors rolling and, you know, refrigerators humming.
Yeah, and we always think of agriculture and associate them with greenery and nature, right? So we don't realize the kind of impact this industry can have on the local ecosystem and also the environment at large.
Yeah, and we normally don't associate farming with technology either, but it's one of the industries that use heavy tech and machinery the most. Anyway, one major agricultural player in the US is called Taylor Farms, and they are making an effort to make food without fossil fuels and shrink its environmental footprint in the process. The company recently completed a makeover of the systems used in its to power its Gonzales, California facilities, where it makes fresh cut salads and other vegetables.
Yeah, Nicole Flewell, F-L-E-W-E-L-L. She's the director of sustainability at Taylor Farms, and she says that they have three different technologies at this one site. So it's a unique ecosystem of energy production. So previously, the company had tried out solar, wind, and fuel cells, but never used more than one renewable energy source at a time on any of its farms. So the company had to really control resources around its chilled rooms and shipped out as much product as it could at once and pushed their food production schedule ahead to prepare shipments for buyers early for days ahead, you know, of the switch.
Yeah, so basically the Gonzales facility now employs solar, wind and co-generation systems from REC Solar, Foundation Wind Power and Concentric Power. The thing is, solar and wind power are already familiar technologies to most, but co-generation may not be. So in a nutshell, the Concentric Power system installed at the Taylor is a co-gen plant, quote-unquote, and that's about 40 to 60 feet. It uses natural gas and waste heat to provide low temperature refrigeration for Taylor's vegetables. Installing such a system requires tie-ins to a facility's pipes and electrical systems.
It's getting more complicated. You know, like how we have hybrid, which is, you know, fossil fuel and electric.
Now
this is like a hybrid of the hybrid in a way.
It's a hybrid building together with another hybrid.
Yeah. Interesting. So according to Taylor Farm CEO and founder Bruce Taylor, the company started testing out renewable energy technologies 5 or 6 years ago and started by purchasing the first version of Bloom Energy Cell and installing solar arrays at its Salinas retail plant. But then some things didn't go according to plan and they learned a lot of things like, you know, you may have to clean your solar panels more frequently than you expected if a construction site next door starts blowing a lot of dust, you know, and stuff like that.
Yeah, so all this like trial and error means that Taylor Farms has been able to generate a lot more power from solar than it predicted, and now has more surplus to actually sell back to the grid. So I think my favorite part about all this is, this whole story is how much effort and time they spend to do something that has, you know, like less impact on the environment. Mm. You can see that it isn't just some gimmick that they were trying to do, but they genuinely want to rely on eco-friendly technology instead of like crude fossil fuels. Anyway, it's time for a short break. And when we come back, we'll tell you how Amazon wants to give you advice on your fashion, which sounds like something that I need. So that's up next. BFM 89.9.
Minds. BFM 89.9.
You're still listening to Enterprise Biz Bytes with Angie and Arvin. Now, we all know about Amazon's Echo smart speakers. They're powered by an assistant named Alexa, just like Siri or Cortana. But people say Alexa is far more advanced and more powerful. So basically, Alexa could listen to you and respond, right? Well, Amazon wants to give Alexa a set of eyes now so that she can see. And that's why they've announced Echo Look, which is a camera designed around taking your own fashion photos and videos. So if you want to show off your daily wardrobe, you just have to ask the Look to take a snapshot. And if you don't, and you don't have to take a selfie in front of a mirror or get a full length picture. And since it includes a depth sensing camera, it can blur the background to make the shots pop.
Finally, the relief for Instagram boyfriends. But the real highlight is what happens when you're not sure about what to wear and you need some advice like Arvin. That's when Alexa comes into the rescue, because the Echo Look has something called a style check service that blends AI algorithms with fashion specialist advice to provide a second opinion.
Yeah, like I said, I think I feel like I could use this, you know, this device, because if you look at the way I dress, then you know that I need some fashion advice, right? The problem is I won't listen to it. It'll probably tell me to do a bunch of things like match the, you know, the blue shirt with the slightly indigo or the grey jeans or
not
whatever.
Not the pink jeans.
Yeah, not the pink jeans. It might, I don't know. But I'll just grab the first shirt that I see in my wardrobe, which is what I do every morning already. And, you know, I'm out of the house in like 5 minutes.
And maybe that's a smarter choice, because there's another layer to this service. The goal, of course, is to get you shopping for more clothes on Amazon. Mm. Duh. Mm-hmm. Because obviously it will recommend you some stuff on Amazon's crazy online catalog. But on the other hand, this could save you from having to ask friends for tips, and it works just like any algorithm. So the more feedback you provide, the better style check gets at determining what outfits work.
Yeah, and by the way, the Echo Look still behaves like Amazon's other speakers when you're not using it, complete with smart home control. It's really more of a bedroom-oriented Echo than a single-purpose device at this point.
And don't expect to simply order one, though, because Amazon is currently selling the $200 Echo Look on an invitation-only basis. Mm-hmm. So you can request an invitation if you want in, but there is no guarantee that you'll get one. And plus, we're all the way here in Malaysia and Amazon hasn't exactly ventured here yet, so I doubt we'll be seeing these fashionistas around here anytime soon.
Yeah, and I ordered for like a Blu-ray on Amazon like a month ago or more than a month ago, and it still hasn't arrived yet. So yeah, you know, I don't know if we'll be getting this anytime soon. We're off to another quick break, and when we come back, we'll cover a service that wants to help you buy the perfect gift for that lucky someone. That's up next, BFM 89.9.
Breaking financial matters, BFM 89.9.
Let's get back to our show.
Yes, you know, so there's nothing better than giving someone the perfect gift, right? So it's only natural that giving the wrong gift for which you searched tirelessly and still came up short is the worst feeling in the world. That's where Token comes in.
Yep, and this is a new startup that was just launched today from the Human Ventures Startup Studio, and they want to take on the challenge of gift giving with a little help from AI.
Yeah, so here's how it works. Users download the app and enter a bit of information about the gift recipient, including style, their relationship to the gift giver and gift giving occasion, and the budget, of course. Token then filters that information through its database of thousands of products across more than 1,000 brand and retail partners.
And the machine learning algorithm narrows down the option, and humans then look through a much more narrow pool of gifts to send a handful of final choices to the gift giver. But what makes Token really special is the fact that it offers end-to-end service for the customer. So instead of pushing the user to some outside website, Token lets users make the purchase directly from the app, handling gift wrapping, shipping, and pairing the gift with a genuine handwritten note.
Yeah, and Token's gift recommendations are free. The company makes money by charging a percentage-based service fee to users who purchase the gift on the platform, while also taking a commission from retailers and brands when a product is sold.
Yeah, pretty straightforward, right?
Yeah.
Well, there are a handful of startups looking to change the way we give gifts, but none of them actually offered the end-to-end service to close the loop for users. So the CEO, Jonathan Jarvis, says that the one of Token's advantages, obviously, is the machine learning algorithm.
Yeah, and with all this, it'll enable the startup to scale the service to millions of users in a way that's thoughtful and creative. There is a tremendous abandonment all along the funnel of gift-giving, but Token reminds you that to send a gift, select the right item. It reminds you that, you know, if you can select a gift and then you can select the right item, it handles delivery and the gift wrapping as well. And no one has done that entire funnel of gift-giving until now.
Yeah, and I guess it's a huge market here to tap into. Mm-hmm. Jarvis also mentioned that the gift-giving is a $131 billion market in the States alone. So during the beta test, Token saw an over average of 30% conversion rate across customers, which is extraordinarily high for e-commerce.
Yeah, it makes you wonder, like, how come no one thought of this before? Like, you know, I know there are apps that recommend gifts, but why didn't anyone think of this before now, right? Such
a huge
market.
Yeah, maybe people have thought about it. It's just a lot of work.
I guess.
Nobody wants to do the work.
And to consolidate all the brands together and all. Yeah, yeah. So, like, with a fresh $2.5 million in seed funding led by Upfront Ventures with participation from Slow Ventures and Human Ventures, Token seems poised to take on the challenge of securing the gift that keeps on giving, which is profitability.
Yeah, and machine learning clearly is now the competitive advantage for businesses today. And just imagine the big brother of all data. And they will have all the information that tracks consumers end to end, you know, is beyond just gift, like just now we talked about Spotify and, you know, all the other tech companies. Mm-hmm. It still creeps me up. But that's where we're heading.
And imagine what they can do with this data. Like, if they gave it to other e-commerce people, imagine like Amazon and all, what they can do if they knew what people want to buy for each other.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's like huge. Anyway, we'll go for another short break for some music and some messages. And then we'll come back with some good news to Malaysian guarantors. This is Enterprise Biz Bytes, BFM 89.9.
Brave finance managers, BFM 89.9.
Enterprise Biz Bytes with Angie and Arvin. Okay, so in our last story of the day, it's someone of a good one. I've heard of so many cases where people, of people where they place their names as guarantors for any loans or, you know, let's say any agreement, right? And they are left with this burden to bear. If I'm the guarantor for my brother, let's say for his commercial loan, for example, and if he doesn't pay up, I would end up with that debt instead on my shoulders. And there's usually no way around this, and there's no protection. And of course, my life would basically be over after that.
Yeah, yeah. And I've encountered so many of these issues just within my family alone, right? And relatives are left with high debt and ended up bankrupt over something that they didn't do. Mm-hmm. Or just perhaps, you know, putting their name on the paper as a third party, and they're basically innocent.
Yeah. So the good news is that in March, the Bankruptcy Amendment Bill was approved in the Dewan Rakyat to provide bankruptcy protection to social guarantors. And it finally passed in Dewan Negara yesterday.
So officially, social guarantors are defined as those who do not profit and essentially provide a guarantee for an education loan, hire purchase transactions for personal or non-business use, or a housing loan for personal dwellings.
Yeah, and the keyword here is those who do not profit. I think that's what needs to be emphasized. I mean, if you think about it, social guarantors cannot be declared bankrupt because they did not profit from it, but guaranteed individual on, you know, like humanitarian grounds.
They ended up becoming victims when, out of sympathy, they become guarantors for other people. And do you know their account could be freezed? Even their properties will be taken over when they put their name as guarantors. And of course, they would end up bankrupt.
Yeah, but all this because they want to do something like goodwill. You know, they wanted to help someone out and then they get the burden instead, which is it's not fair. It's kind of unfair.
It's not fair.
Yeah, so at least the government is now aware of this and believe that these social guarantors should no longer be penalized. With this amended bill, guarantors are now protected. Among other changes in the Bankruptcy Act include raising the minimum threshold of a person's debt from $30,000 to $50,000 before they can be declared a bankrupt.
Yeah, so the proposed bill is also looking to creating an insolvency assistance fund and the release from the bankruptcy without objection by the creditors for certain groups of people. And these groups, of course, include social guarantors that made bankrupt under the Bankruptcy Act 19. 1967. Mm-hmm. Those who have died, those categorized as people with disabilities by the welfare department, and those certified by government medical officers as suffering from chronic or serious diseases.
Yeah, and according to the Malaysian Department of Insolvency, there had been about 169,927 cases of bankruptcy from 2008 alone. As of November 2016, the Credit Counselling and Debt Management Agency, or the AKPK, has helped resolve 11,935 cases involving debts totaling about 488 million ringgit.
Yeah, and however, though, the social guarantor would still be facing other legal processes to prevent them from abusing the amendments to this act.
Yeah, and there's always going to be, you know, loopholes. There's always some loophole. But at least the guarantors are now protected. So that's the important part. And, you know, that's definitely progress in that part. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we are actually at the end of our show. And this is where we usually do a roundup of the stories we covered on Enterprise Biz Bytes today. First, we talked about Spotify acquiring blockchain startup called Media Chain Labs. And they will be working on developing better technology for connecting artists and other rights holders with the tracks hosted on Spotify's service.
Mm, and then we talked about Taylor Farms, who wants to make food without fossil fuels and shrink its environmental footprint in the process. The company recently completed a makeover of the systems used to power its California facilities, where it makes fresh cut salads and other vegetables. And basically, the facility now employs solar, wind, and cogeneration systems.
Yeah, and on the third story we covered, we spoke about Amazon's Echo and how it has a new look. Get it? You know? So anyway, Amazon wants to give Alexa a set of eyes now so that she can see, and they announced Echo Look. It's a camera designed around taking your own fashion photos and videos. It also comes with a style check service that blends AI algorithms with fashion specialist advice whenever you have no idea what to wear.
And we also highlighted a new startup called Token that used AI and machine learning to help you find the perfect gift. It's an app where you enter bits of information about the gift recipient, the style, relationship, occasion, and budget. And Token filters through its database of more than 1,000 brand and retail partners, and voila, a perfect gift.
I want to see how this works. This is like one of the most interesting ones. Yeah, and finally, we talked about Dewan Negara and how they approve amendments to the Bankruptcy Act, which now protects the social guarantor. Among other changes in the Bankruptcy Act include raising the minimum threshold of a person's debt from 30,000 ringgit to 50,000 ringgit before they can be declared bankrupt.
And up next at 1 p.m. is the Breakfast Grill replay. Koo Soo Chuang spoke to Charles Brewer, the global CEO of DHL e-commerce, where he talked about the importance of efficient logistics services in this e-commerce space.
Yeah, and that's all the time we have on Enterprise Biz Bytes today. If you want to learn more about the stories we covered today, the links will be made available on our podcast page on the BFM app, which is of course available on the Apple App Store and on Google Play. Mm-hmm. Thank you for listening. I'm Arvind Yuvaraj together with Angeline Tay. This is Enterprise Biz Bytes, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.